Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Presence of the Lord and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here today. You made a right decision, and we are so glad again, Tony, that you could be here this morning with us in the house of God, and the same for Mom. Mom is here this morning. If you can go to church at 95, then I'm assuming some other people could come to church also. And Sandra is here and healed. God has done so much for us. For those of you who don't know, it was an abscess tooth, and they had to take her tooth and part of the bone, and it was, you know, a real ordeal as that was poisoning her body. But Jesus is our healer, is he not? Amen. He is. So this morning, we're going to do a message that has been on both of our hearts for so long. I titled it kind of a crazy title, Help, I Need Somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, I Need the Holy Spirit. And most of you know that that's the old Beatles song. And some of the lyrics of that song are, Help, I Need Somebody. Help, not just anybody. I need somebody. And that somebody is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And it continues and says, when I was younger, much younger than today, haha, for most of us, I never thought I needed help in any way. But now those days are gone. I'm not that self-assured. I'm not that prideful. And I find that I need to open the door of my heart to the Holy Spirit. And someday Willie's going to play that song for us. You know, as sacrilegious as you might think it is, he's still going to play it because the words are very, very appropriate. And Acts 1 and 8 says this. I'm going to read, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. Can I say something for just a minute? You don't receive the power. You receive the power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Let that be our first lesson of the day. After you receive the Holy Spirit, then you receive the power. And that's found in Acts 1:8. And I was typing this on Thursday night, and I was just realizing how many people in our world today need help. And beyond that, I realized how many Christians need help. And we need help from an outside source, and that source is not, you know, people tell us all the time, Pastor Ken, that there is something missing in the church. There is nothing missing in the church, people. We have the best Bible teachers, speakers, bands, and churches all over. We have the best worship teams. We have access to the best Bible studies on the planet, all over this world. There's not something missing. There's someone missing, and his name is Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit of God, and the Bible tells us not to grieve him or quench him. And sometimes we find that we've done that by not honoring him and disrespecting him. And there are churches where the Holy Spirit is not preached today. They think he's spooky. They think he's mystical. He's not. He's loving. He's kind. And they hardly know who he is, much less what he does. But we're going to share that with you today. Comforter, teacher, helper, counselor. He gives us gifts. He empowers us to do the works that Christ did. But the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does, he makes us holy. He makes us holy. And, you know, people say, well, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I beg your pardon. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father God. The Holy Spirit is here. He came to earth. I see where Jesus was promised by Isaiah. He came. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended unto heaven where he sits. And when he left, he sent someone else, and he was promised, and he came. Can anybody tell me the verse where the Holy Spirit has left this place? Has he left the house? Has he left the earth? No, he is here today. And do you know how much that comforts me? It really does, Pastor Ken. And continue to share this, because I know you have some great thoughts on this.
Amen. And I do like the title, Help, I Need Somebody. Not just anybody, because isn't that reminds me of the man at the pool. He said, I don't have anyone to help me. I have nobody. And if you really think about it, he'd been there so many years. It wasn't that there wasn't people that could have helped. There was no one that could help. In other words, all the people that were, he knew they didn't have any help. That was Bob and there's Jennifer, and he's known them for 20 years, and they offer no help. Bob and Jennifer can't help. But, yeah, they were sick too. And it's just knowing, I mean, when he was talking to Jesus, to think that he was talking to the maker of heaven and earth, that he had no idea that he was talking to the creator of everything. So it's a matter of where we go for our help. Judas, when he felt all that guilt after selling out Jesus, he almost got it right. He went to the high priest. But he didn't go to the high priest. See what I'm saying? He went to the high priest that was ordained by man. But there was another high priest that was alive and about to go to a cross that he could have went to. And his story could have ended up so different. So, Pam, I was thinking a couple of things. First of all, it was very ironic that you said that about nothing missing, that there's nothing missing, because I was just thinking this morning that whenever we say there's something missing out of my life, I feel like there's something missing. And you go, well, I just, you know, I'm doing the same thing. I think there's something missing. It's always the same thing. It's always the Holy Spirit. The answer is always the same. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what's missing out of our life. So the scripture that says that God inhabits the praises of his people, which I enjoyed the worship this morning, and I appreciate every single person that comes to the worship team and sings or plays. What does it mean that he inhabits the praises of his people? It means he moves in. He moves in. That when we begin to worship, we attract the Holy Spirit. We attract angels, just like you can attract demons, right? But you can also attract the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, it's fly repellent. You know, when you get into worship mode, it's anti-Satan. He does not like to be around worship. I guarantee he loves to argue, but he does not like to be around worship. It's just like this morning. You know, you never know. I once asked my dad, you know, when I was a teenager, well, I don't know if I want to go to church. Who's going to be there? That's what I wanted to know. You know, any baseball stars showing up today? You know, who's going to be there? And he said, oh, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, that's who's going to be there. But even though his answer was funny, think about how true that is, that it does not matter the size of a church or we came here to meet the Father. So just like when I looked up this morning and I saw someone at the back and I thought, well, that's where Mom kind of sits, and I didn't know that she had came. So I was playing and all of a sudden I looked up and there was Mom. And I was playing and I looked up and there was Tony. And if God inhabits the praises of his people, as we're worshiping, we look up and we realize that the Holy Spirit showed up, that he's here. And you say, well, where does he sit? I'll tell you. He walks. He doesn't sit. As you're there worshiping, or even if you're listening to the message and you come with a need, when you cry out with your heart, he's here. He's here. It's like if someone was walking around saying, I got water, you know, someone's got water. If same thing, the Holy Spirit walks around, you know, water, I got fresh water, I got living water. And if your heart is crying out, he's going to minister to you. My other thought, that it's kind of a random thought, and then I'll get back on track. But, you know, we always hear this story about the children of Israel in the desert and how they wandered around for 40 years. And I want you to think about that, not in terms of a Bible story that you know, but I want you to think, now that I say a million people, Pam says it's much more than that because of women and children that weren't counted. But even if it was a million, think that a million is 1,000 people 1,000 times. There's 1,000. There's another 1,000. That's 3,000. You got to do that 1,000 times. And you have to have water for them every single day. And you have to have food for them every. Think about the logistics if I told you that you were responsible for just one day. Just one day. And it was 2 years from now. But you had to get water and food for 1,000,000 people. You'd say, it's too many people. I can't even do it for one day. And God did it for 40 years. How amazing is God? Is anything too hard for God? And no, it's not. Pam, the Holy Spirit, what an amazing topic. And you're right, the Holy Spirit is neglected in many churches. Here's the secret. It's not a secret, it's I'll call it a secret even though it's well exposed. The Holy Spirit always comes by invitation. And if you say, I would like to know more about the Holy Spirit, you do not want to pray, God, give me more of the Holy Spirit. Because that's a prayer that's about to get answered. You know, that's like if you go to Sandra and say, do you have any volunteer jobs for me? The answer is, thank you, and here's my list. Right? So you go to God and say, you know, I think I'd like more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And he's like, yeah, we can get that going today. And now, I know I've said this before, but it is the lesson that I have to continually learn about the Holy Spirit, Pam, and that is that it is really a still small voice. In the same way that you were talking about faith, right, that faith is a seed that grows, the ability to hear the Holy Spirit louder only comes by really listening. And I did it again last week. I can't remember the example, but the Holy Spirit kind of whispered something to me, but it was so quiet that I didn't hear it until after I had done the thing that he had told me not to do. But then after I did it, I realized, wasn't there something in the back of my head saying, don't do that? And I thought, Holy Spirit, could you please turn up the volume? Just, you know, shout at me, but he doesn't. It's such a small, quiet voice. But I believe, Pam, with all of my heart, that if we could learn, we could cultivate to be led by the Holy Spirit in so many areas of our life, that would make such a difference.
I can tell you, if there was one person who would make a difference in your life, it would be the person of God, the Holy Spirit. He took some men back in the Bible, in the book of Acts. He took a bunch of uneducated, ordinary fishermen and all kinds of rough around the edges men, a group of men and so many more, and women, and he made them. They went from fearful to fearless. Peter went from timid and shy and a hothead and had all kinds of issues, I want to call it, in his life until he literally stood up and his first sermon was, "Oh, you brood of vipers." Let me tell you, he didn't care who cared at that time because he was filled with the power, the transforming, let's call it the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, which is firepower. And if you ever find yourself in a fire, it's going to have a manifestation in your life. If this building were to be set on fire, do not tell me that there would not be running and jumping and shouting and all kinds of things. I pray the day comes when this building is set on fire, and you know what I mean. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit can do in 5 minutes what you've tried to do all of your life. You've tried to fix yourself. You've tried to change. You've tried to help other people, and it's not working as you thought it would work because he is the help that we need. He is the somebody that we need. And I want to tell you, even to do the works that Jesus did, I would not dare cast out devils without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what will happen if you try to cast out devils without the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil will turn and cast you out. There will be no issue except that you are cast out. Have you ever tried to heal someone without the power of the Holy Spirit? I can't heal anybody. I don't have stripes on my back. I don't hardly know what kind of Neosporin to use on your infection. But I can tell you, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. But again, I say to you, the thing that you're looking for are not the things and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You want the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. You want to be changed by Jesus first, because the gifts without the fruit are nothing. Nobody wants a mean prophet. If you don't have love and you don't have joy in your life, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Nobody's going to hardly come around you. And let me tell you something. People know if you've been with Jesus. Let me read to you from Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that these were uneducated, ordinary men, they were amazed and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you know that people know if you spend time with Jesus? And let me tell you something else. Do you know that people know if you do not spend time with Jesus? Because it shows, because the Holy Spirit does change your life. And, you know, we miss it when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. You know, with the Holy Spirit, one minute you're a caterpillar, but that's not who you were really created to be. You were really created to be something beautiful, something that soars like the eagles, something that someone who is changed. You know, I heard a girl say, she was talking about another Christian, and she said, well, she says she's a Christian, and she don't act like a Christian. And I said, God's not looking for actors. He's looking for action. You know, trying to condemn somebody and put somebody down. But Jesus said, you'll do even greater works when I go to my Father. And in order to do that, we need the helper. We need someone to help us, because I haven't been able in my own power. In your own power, you can do something, but you cannot do the works that Jesus did in your own power and in your own strength. That comes by the Holy Spirit. And what usually happens is without the Holy Spirit, the devil will beat you up and he will bully you. He will try to put you in your place. And yes, the devil has a right to be here on this earth until Adam's lease, let me say that, until Adam's lease runs out, he has a right to be here, but he has no authority and no right in your life to be in your life. He has a right to be on the earth, but not in your life. The only authority he has is what you and I give him. So we need to understand this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, because we can't be, I want you to hear this, we can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. Pick one. Do you want to be pitiful or do you want to be powerful? That's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for him today. How many times I've been in my car and I've said, Holy Spirit, be with me. Holy Spirit, ride along with me. Holy Spirit, move my mouth. Holy Spirit, tomorrow night I'm going to be sharing a testimony that the Holy Spirit told me something to do just the other day, and I did it. And thank God, like Ken said, you hear that still small voice, and you have to take action, because the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts, is a book of action.
And the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit is still being written, because the Holy Spirit is still acting. When it comes to the enemy, Pam's right. He doesn't have any right over you, but that doesn't mean that he won't still lie to you. He will lie to you. And the question is, as Amy Grant says, which voice are you listening to? She said, the voice that you hear is the one that wins the fight. So if we listen to the enemy, that's what's going. It's like being marinated in something. Worship is marinade. If we worship, we're being marinated in the fragrance of worship. And as Pam said, people will know you've been with Jesus. I worked as a waiter and when I was in Bible school, and at the end of the night, I smelled like that restaurant. You carry that around with you. When the woman worshiped at Jesus' feet and she broke the perfume and she wiped his feet with the hair and she was crying, and that perfume got all over her and Jesus. The same fragrance that was on Jesus was on her. And because that was expensive perfume, even after she left Jesus' presence, the perfume was still on her. The worship was still on her. I bet she smelled like that for 3 or 4 days, where you would smell that sweet fragrance. And that is exactly what we want in our life. And I like that you stressed the fruits of the Spirit, because it seems like we always want to stress the power of God. But there really can't be any power without love. everything has got to work by love. You're so right. You can't be a mean person, because we so represent God. And do you ever think of it that way? Because think about it. When I was in the military, they always stressed to us, you represent the United States military. So if you go out and do something stupid, it's the U.S. military doing something stupid. If you do something brave, then you're doing something. Then just like where I work now, I represent that company. How much more when people know that you're a child of God, do we have a responsibility to represent God? We know what the Holy Spirit is like because he's like Jesus, because Jesus represented what God was like. So if you want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. But because we're the children of God, when we tell people that we're Christians, we represent heaven too, for good or for bad. I like that Pam brought out that the disciples were almost all of them, such ordinary people, just like me and you. I'd like to point out that in the Bible, in the New Testament, that those disciples were supernaturally protected. The incident that we were thinking about was after Paul was shipwrecked, which, what an adventure. They're fearing for their life. And no matter how bad things get, there was an angel there. There were many angels there. And God told Paul to give a message to everyone that thought they were going to die. And the first words of the message is, everyone's afraid to die. And God says, cheer up. Everybody, just be of good cheer. You know, that's so strange, but this is the Holy Spirit. He always leads us to victory. So, of course, they got rescued. Nobody died. And they're on this island, and Paul is getting fire, which this is all prophetic. And as he's picking up the wood, out of the wood comes a snake and bites him. And do you remember that not only did Paul kill the snake, but how the snake died? Paul took it to a fire and threw it in a fire. Think how prophetic that is, that Satan, as the viper, is thrown into the fire. And Satan tried to kill Jesus, tried to bite Jesus, tried to poison Jesus, and did inject poison. But guess what? Everyone was waiting for Paul to die, right? He just got bit by a poisonous snake. Everyone knows these poisonous snakes. It was on his hand, by the way. The thing was like the fangs were in his hand. Paul shakes it off into the fire, and he's totally protected. Now, I do want to point out, he didn't go and find a snake and say, hey, snake, bite me. That is not what the Bible says. It doesn't say when you get bit by a snake. It says if. It doesn't say when. So we don't tempt God, because the devil tried to tempt Jesus the same way. Well, you know, jump off and God will protect you. And Jesus said, no, that's tempting God. Now, if Jesus had fallen off, he would have been fine. But you don't jump off. Because you'll find out right before you hit the ground that it's not a good idea. But watch this. Pam called me last week, and she said, you cannot believe how amazing it is that you can still talk to me, that I'm still on this planet. Right? She said that she almost had a horrendous car accident that probably could have killed her, just an out-of-control driver. How many of you, either you know, I'm still not what sure happened 2 days ago, but I was driving, and I have no idea how I avoided this car. What it looked like to me in the half second, it looked like that car went through my car. That's what it looked like. I felt like the two cars merged. But anyway, the point is, I was not in an accident. Pam was not in an accident. And we need to be trusting God for our life. We need to be trusting God. Who? Who else? Oh, everybody. Yes, thank God that we weren't in those accidents. The Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge. But that doesn't mean that you need to go back to college. When the Bible talks about knowing God, it doesn't mean head knowledge, intellectual knowledge. It means meeting him, getting to know him. When Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," he's talking about, I didn't know you. I didn't have that relationship with you. And think about it. You're a friend of Jesus. You're a friend of the Holy Spirit. You're a friend of God. And I just want to throw, this is a throwaway comment, but it meant a lot to me. You think of yourself as being this incredibly ordinary person. Almost everybody to a fault doesn't see themselves as being the amazing person that God made them to be. Alan, you probably just think, "I'm just Alan," you know. And Matt probably thinks, I'm just Matt. And Willie thinks, "I'm just Willie," you know. But none of that is true. Because this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, I can't wait to meet Jesus face to face. Now, hopefully it won't be our first meeting. The idea is you're meeting old friends, right? That you don't have to be introduced to Jesus. But still, there's going to be that time in heaven that you're seeing Jesus face to face for the first time. And you've got to think, so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, I can't wait to talk to Jesus face to face. And this is the thought that occurred to me, and I believe it's from God, but I don't like saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I believe that God was saying to me, Jesus is looking forward to meeting every single person as much as they are looking forward to meeting him. Because in Jesus' eyes, Alan, you are unique. There's no other Alans. God made you for a purpose to be amazing, and the plans that God has for you in heaven, you're going to do such amazing things in heaven. You're not Alan. You're Alan. You are Alan. I mean, you are somebody in the kingdom of God. Every one of you is so unique that the way you would look forward to meeting some whoever, God is looking forward to meeting you because you are unique and you are amazing. And God does have wonderful, wonderful plans for everybody.
He absolutely does. And, you know, we can't stress this enough, our need for the Holy Spirit, because truly he is the one person. Sometimes we say, "Don't give no place to the devil," when in reality we have given no place to the Holy Spirit. And that's just such a strong, powerful message to all of us. But here's the thing I want to focus on. Again, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I don't believe we'll have revival in churches until we have a personal Pentecost. And I know some of you understand what I mean by that. Until we first have revival in my life and first have revival in our homes where the Holy Spirit has been dishonored by the things that we watch on television, by the way we talk in our homes, and by the way we treat one another in our homes, we need a personal Pentecost. And if I had trouble in my life and I could call on one person on this earth to come and help me, it would be the Holy Spirit, because he is on this earth today. I would call upon the Holy Spirit. And here's what I mean by personal Pentecost. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, give me fruit in my life. Help me develop fruit in my life. You know, so many times we want to do the works that Jesus did. And part of the works that Jesus did is casting out devils. And when we talk about casting out devils, you know, immediately I think of, I need to cast the devil out of Alan and Pastor Ken. I probably need to do that. Do the works that Jesus did. You know, how many of you know you need to cast the devil out of your own life first and out of your own home first before you cast devils out of someone else's life? And you need to be able to pray for your own family and lay hands on the sick and pray for yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've laid hands on myself with a headache and that kind of thing. But we need the Holy Spirit in our own personal life first. You know, anytime you hear a message, and I want you to feel that way about this message, I like to say it like this. I pray that everyone feels welcome in our church. I don't pray that you feel comfortable in our church. Do you understand the difference between feeling welcomed and feeling comfortable? Every message you hear from the pulpit should challenge you in some way. You know, why would, because here's the thing, sometimes we know it, but we don't do it. Sarah Jakes always said, if you know better, do better. And it's just the truth. So we need the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to just talk about the Holy Spirit. I want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I want a fresh fire, fresh filling. And you know, that will increase my faith. That will increase my faith to work miracles. But it starts with the fruit of the Spirit before the power of the Spirit. And I want to remind you of the story of Peter. I love this story of Peter. And we think that Jesus was rebuking Peter, but that's not the Jesus I serve. When Peter was walking on the water, when he asked Jesus to beckon him to come, he got out of the boat and he started walking towards Jesus on the water, and he got quite a distance because Jesus was far away, the Bible says. And so he got quite a distance, and he began to sink as he looked about at the storms. And it appeared at first notice, if you don't study further, that Jesus was rebuking Peter. Jesus said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." But that's not my Jesus. Is that your Jesus, that he would openly rebuke him about having little faith? I want to tell you something. If he was going to rebuke anybody, it would have been those who stayed in the boat, who had no faith, zero faith, none to get out of the boat. But that's not what he did. As he was stretching out his hand and said, "Peter, of you of little faith," Jesus was sending you and I a clear message. If you have just a little faith, you can walk on water. Look what this man has done with a little faith. He walked to me on stormy water. He was sending us a positive message, not a message of rebuke, because Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be moved," and cast into the sea. And I want to tell you that when we have the Holy Spirit, that will increase our faith. And even to the speaking of other tongues. Do you know that you should speak in other tongues? Because that's a heavenly language. That's you speaking to God. You're not speaking the language of hell. You're speaking the language of heaven. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to reject. You know, we need that. And I pray that this for our children. I want this more than I want it for myself. I want this for my children. I was talking to my daughter Candy last night. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want a miracle in your life, you're going to need him. He's the miracle worker. I really love Gene Simmons' testimony. You know he's Alice Cooper. And he said, "I grew up in the church," and he was raised in a Holy Ghost Pentecostal church. And look how far he went away from God. He is known as just a wicked, horrible man. He said, "I went as far as I could away from God, and the Holy Spirit brought me back." I am believing for that for our children and our children's children. I'm asking for things that money can't buy, not just power to show power, but power in my life, power in your life, that our children will see it and say, "They have been with Jesus, and that's what I want."
I was watching this documentary about these poisonous snakes, and they were talking about how they make, it was a documentary on how they make anti-venom, and what the process is to make anti-venom to snakes. So they were showing these different types of poisonous snakes, and they would say, "Now this snake has enough venom, it could kill like 30,000 hamsters with like one bite." It's just like, and you're like, what? How could anything be that toxic? And I remember reading about certain poisons that less than a pin could kill a human being. That there's things that are almost invisible, that if you could get them on your skin or touch, isn't that amazing that there can be things that powerful? But the same is true in the kingdom of God. That just one touch of the Holy Spirit can begin to work in your life. And if you say, "Well, how can I get the Holy Spirit practically? What does the Bible actually say? How difficult is it?" If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so he comes by invitation. So if we ask, he's going. So you were talking about being comfortable in church. And Here's the it's not a contradiction, but here's the heads and tails of it, the light and dark of it. That the Holy Spirit is at the same time your comforter, but he's also this holy, powerful. Jesus is at the same time your friend, but at the same time, he has a sword in his mouth. In other words, in the book The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, the C.S. Lewis novel, Jesus is portrayed as this incredibly large and powerful lion. And someone says in the book, "The lion terrifies me." The lion, and I'm not quoting it exactly because I don't remember, but it's something along the line. So this lion that represented Christ in his power, and they said, "The lion scares me." And someone said, "He's supposed to." So Jesus is at the same, God is powerful, but at the same time, he's our friend. And that's not a contradiction. We have to walk that line. We can come before the Father, and he told us, come boldly before the throne. He's inviting us as children. But at the same time, we recognize the holiness and the awesomeness of who God is. And those, are not contradictions. What a privilege that the most powerful, that the creator of everything has said, you are invited and you are welcome. What a privilege that we share.
You know, it is so true. I was sharing last week, I don't know if it was Monday night or Sunday morning, that anti-venom for snakes is made oftentimes with lamb's blood and sheep's blood, that the anti-venom to the snake bite is the blood from a lamb or sheep. What an analogy that is. That's true. And what an analogy in the spiritual realm that the anti-venom to the snake bite is the blood of the lamb. That's what we need. And, you know, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We overcome by the blood of the lamb and the word of our testimony. And many people don't testify because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit and the boldness that Peter had to testify and to be courageous and to preach the word of God. But I am asking God for more fruit in my life, not in your life, in my life. I'm asking to develop the fruit in my life. Make me more loving and patient and kind. I need patience. I need kindness. I need to be more gentle. All of the above. But then I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that God will give us the gifts of the Spirit and we can lay hands on the sick. You know, I love that Peter and John, how many of you believe that Peter and John and Paul and all of them performed actual miracles and people were healed? But guess what? Can I submit to you some math? Let's do some math here. Peter, John, and Paul are dead now. They are dead. They are gone. They are not doing miracles now. So who does that leave? That leaves Tony and Frida and Ken and Emmy and Beulah and Wanda and Leslie. It leaves us here to do the miracles that Christ did. And first, we've got to get the devil out of our life and get the Holy Spirit in our life. We are supposed to be, like Ken said, ambassadors of Christ, and we need to focus more on the solution. And the answer is Jesus. Jesus doesn't have answers. Jesus is the answer. And, you know, Jesus never walked up to the man by the pool and said, you know, I'm so sorry about your problem. Can I talk to you about the problem for a minute? He just said, rise up. He never said, it's a shame it's dark outside. He said, let there be light. He spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the situation. He didn't talk a lot about the problem. And we're all guilty as charged. But I just, you know, Dave was telling me the other day, he said, go to the gas station and top off. And that something about that just hit me. And I thought, let's go to the Holy Spirit gas station and get a fill up, which is a lot cheaper because, I mean, the price has been paid, a high price, but to us it's free. And we just need to top it off and say, like Tony sings that song, more love, more power. But my favorite song is, and by the way, it doesn't matter who does not believe in miracles. It just matters if you do believe. And I think one of my favorite songs that's an old song that we used to sing is, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, defeated, sick, or lame. I remember not long ago when Sandra was sick, one of the things, she was sitting on the coffee table and crying at my house, and she said, I feel defeated. I said, you are not defeated. The devil is defeated. He's a liar. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. God really wants to do that in us. So we're going to have to believe that. And, you know, hopefully Pastor Ken will play that song as we close in prayer. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, yeah, we'll have to get someone up here to sing it, though. Who's going to come and sing? Frida?
You won't leave here like you came.
She'll come back in a minute. We got time. We got time. Intermission. Yeah, we'll play You Won't Leave Her Like You Came, in Jesus' name. What did Moses pray? We don't want to leave this place if you don't go with us. We don't want to leave this place. So being led by the Holy Spirit is, imagine that you have a project. Like, you know, in college or high school, they say two or three people are going to work on this project. And you've got to design something. You've got to decide what you're going to do. You've got to develop a plan. Who should be in charge of that design if on the planning committee is you and the Holy Spirit? You know, can you imagine you're doing a project and you go, Holy Spirit, I want to take lead on this. I'll develop the plan. And, you know, you're the helper. That's what you're called, right? You're the helper, so I'll tell you what to do and you help. That would be foolish. Imagine that I like chess, but I'm not a good chess player. I find it very challenging. So imagine that I had to play one of the world's top players. And who do you like in that match? The world's top player or me? You probably are going to go with the world's top player, correct? But watch this. What if I was going to play the world's top player with the understanding that I would have earbuds in and the Holy Spirit would tell me where to move? He would say, I want you to just, even if you don't know chess, move your pawn to this place. Move your rook to this place. That's not me playing chess. That's just me doing what I'm told, right? I mean, I'm not making the decisions. I have a much greater chance of winning with the Holy Spirit talking to me. But again, it's that still small voice that we have to be able to hear. But Pam, I'm convinced if we could really listen to what God is saying, we would avoid so many left turns when we should be turning right. We'd be avoiding so many detours and dead-end streets and places where we just feel like we've lost it if we could just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to become more and more like Him. Amen.
He is so kind and good. Let's stand. We're going to pray. God is so good. You know, that is my prayer, that we are changed, that you will go home from this place and you will talk to the Holy Spirit and you will ask Him to come by invitation to come move into your life and your heart, so that we will not be the same, but we will be totally, completely different than we were before the Holy Spirit, because there is a difference. You can do very little. A car will move. Did you know that a car will move without gasoline? Did you know it'll move a lot faster with gasoline and a little firepower? That's you and I. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. I ask that you would fill every single person, Father God. I ask that you would fill us to overflowing. Give us enough, Father God, that we'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, Father God. Make us the peculiar people that you called us to be. Set us apart, Father God. Do a work in our lives. Father God, I pray that you would heal the sick. Open blinded eyes, cause the lame to walk, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you will change us from the inside out, Father God. I pray that you will make us more loving and kind, Father, and faithful, Father God. Make us a giver, not a taker, Father God. Humble us, Father God. In Jesus' name we thank you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.